Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program live from Bonn, Germany. I'm your host, Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Stella Oneko, bringing you the social media news and comments from African stories.
Coming up, Donald Trump beats Hillary Clinton to the White House, and here are some reactions from the African continent.
He wants the law to be applied in terms of people going to America legally.
There is no cause of alarm, as in the Africans who are in America are going to be deported, no.
And several African leaders congratulated Trump directly on Twitter.
One of them is South Africa's President Jacob Zuma, but the majority of South Africans did not want Trump anywhere near the White House.
I am shocked. I'm so surprised, man, what's happening in America with their new president.
I think it's a bit of a surprise to most people. It was certainly to me a surprise. Liz, let's wait and see what he does.
We will also take a look at mock elections in the home area of President Obama's Kenyan family.
But before we get there, here's a chance to hear what's happening around the world.
I'm Brandon Conradis with DW News. Republican nominee Donald Trump has been declared the next president of the United States following a long and often acrimonious campaign against Democratic rival Hillary Clinton. The New York billionaire's victory was sealed when Clinton conceded defeat in the early hours of Wednesday morning.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
His win capped off a nail-biter of an election night that saw Trump edging ahead in key battleground states like Florida and Wisconsin, putting him over the necessary threshold of 270 electoral votes. Trump's victory has sent shockwaves across the globe and rattled markets. World leaders were quick to chime in following Trump's win, with Russian President Vladimir Putin among the first to congratulate the soon-to-be commander-in-chief. German Chancellor Angela Merkel also expressed her well wishes to Trump while delivering a subtle rebuke to some of the more extreme positions of the leader's right-leaning platform.
I congratulate the winner of the United States presidential election, Donald Trump, on his election victory. Germany and America share similar values: democracy, freedom, respect for the rule of law, and for human dignity, regardless of one's background, skin color, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or political opinion.
German Vice Chancellor Sigmar Gabriel said that Trump's victory should be a warning to Germany and to Europe, which is facing its own right-wing populist backlash. South African President Jacob Zuma, meanwhile, said he was looking forward to the newly elected leader, noting that he wanted to build on the strong relations that already existed between the two countries. Among the areas Zuma said he was looking forward to working with Trump on were peace, security, and prosperity on the African continent. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. In Turkey, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan hit back at the EU following a scathing report in which Brussels questioned the likelihood of the country joining the EU. The European Commission said Ankara's crackdown on civil rights following an attempted coup in July made its ascension increasingly unlikely. Speaking in front of Istanbul business representatives, Erdogan called on the EU to make its final decision, while also insisting the bloc wouldn't sever ties out of fear it would endanger the migrant deal agreed upon by Brussels and Ankara in March. The International Organization for Migration reported that nearly 42,000 people had fled the Iraqi city of Mosul following the beginning of the military's offensive to reclaim it from the so-called Islamic State terrorist group. The report came not long after Iraqi soldiers discovered a mass grave holding at least 100 bodies in a town near the city. The Islamic State has reportedly carried out dozens of exterminations in the area since it captured the city nearly 2 years ago. For more news and information, please visit our website, dw.com. I'm Brandon Conradis.
Republican nominee Donald Trump has taken the White House, sending shockwaves around the globe. After several hours of too close to call exit polls, Hillary Clinton conceded defeat in the early hours of Wednesday morning local time. Africans across the continent followed the U.S. presidential election with keen interest. While some fear that a Trump presidency could have disastrous consequences, others remain cautiously optimistic. Our correspondents have been up and about to find out how Africans, including analysts, reacted to the news of Donald Trump's win of the U.S. presidential election. And we start with this report from Liberia, read by Fred Muvunyi.
Donald Trump's White House victory has surprised many here in this country. Tessie Bolli, a student of economics and accounting, told Deutsche Welle she was hoping Donald Trump would take radical action.
I look forward especially to cutting aid to Africa because, I mean, the aid has not helped this continent. If you look, for example, at Liberia, we had to receive aid during President Sirleaf's reign, and we see that we lack basic social services.
Other Liberians were rather less enthusiastic about Trump's victory. Isaac Reid told Deutsche Welle he sees it as a cause for genuine concern.
He wants the law to be applied in terms of people going to America legally. He believes that the 11 million persons that are illegally residing there are probably hiding, and people who hide from the laws will not be far from criminal authorities.
This is Koleta Wanjohi in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Ethiopian analysts think that the new U.S. president may not have major changes in already existing policy.
My name is Jacob Arsano from Addis Ababa University. And America is an established political system which does not be swayed by individual president. It has never been that way. But the president is powerful, influential. He can try to influence his policy people, his national support into what he believes and thinks. But then he's also checked by other actors like Congress.
My name is Ananias Ori. I work for the private press in Ethiopia. In foreign policy, there is always change and continuity. There will be some change and there will be also a continuity of the previous, because the foreign policy is naturally or usually designed, given the national interest of that country. So the national interest of the U.S. will not be significantly changed out of the blue.
This is Andrew Wasike in Nairobi, Kenya. Even as President Uhuru Kenyatta was congratulating Donald Trump on winning the U.S. presidential election, saying Americans have made a clear choice, Kenyans themselves have been reacting to the Republican candidate's victory with stunned disbelief. I have been talking to political analysts in Kenya about what it means for Kenya and the African continent as a whole. John Omolo sees no reason for despondency.
There is no cause of alarm as in the Africans who are in America are going to be deported. No, the only people who will face terror in America, the people who are in America illegally. Trump is a no-nonsense guy. Trump is a businessman who wants to make money. He is going to make sure all American companies do business with people who can give this country business. So even if it is China, even if it is Africa, he's going to work with these countries.
Naftali Mwaura, a political analyst from Kenya with vast knowledge on East African affairs, is, however, concerned about U.S. protectionism.
Personally, it was a disappointing victory for Africa and for Kenya. We are talking of a man who has touted protectionism and America first as his defining theme of his campaign.
This is Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg, South Africa. Experts have warned Donald Trump's presidency could come back to bite not only Americans but also the world at large. Trump's victory has been described by many in South Africa as shocking and worrying. John Stremlau, Wits University International Relations Professor, describes Trump's election as an emotional decision by those who were disgruntled with the current administration.
It seems like the American psychology right now was one of resentment and fear, and so why not take a chance on Donald Trump?
Trump's win sent the markets crashing, with the rand down by over 4% against the dollar. And independent economic expert Lesiba Mutanda says it's not clear how U.S.-South Africa trade will look like under Trump's presidency.
There's unclarity around how the big man will deal with trade, considering his rhetoric in the trail as he was leading to the White House. So it remains quite uncertain what policies he will implement.
We stay in South Africa, a country which Donald Trump described as broken and crime-ridden while on the campaign. But the government says it will work with Trump to promote the already strong relations between the two countries and between Africa and the United States. Subri Govender filed this report.
South Africans generally have expressed surprise, disbelief and shock at the election of Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States of America. They are dumbfounded that a person who had expressed negative views of Mexican Americans, Latinos, Muslims and African leaders such as Robert Mugabe and Yoweri Museveni could be elected as head of a superpower. Most of the people had been rooting for Hillary Clinton, believing she would be the better candidate to take over from Barack Obama. During the run-up to the presidential election, Donald Trump was not very complimentary of South Africa. He tweeted that although he really liked Nelson Mandela, he said South Africa is a broken country and crime-ridden. He said this was not good for South Africa. The people I had spoken to expressed their disappointment that Donald Trump had won the race for the U.S. presidency.
I am shocked. I'm so surprised, man, what's happening in America with their new president.
I think it's a bit of a surprise to most people. It was certainly to me a surprise. But let's wait and see what he does.
Well, I think the one person that he could beat is Clinton. And unfortunately, that was the candidate they put forward. Fortunately, he's not very clever, so it'll be pretty easy for them to make sure he doesn't damage things.
I'm shocked that America can elect a leader like him because he's a racist. He don't like anyone else and he called us a failure.
A leader of the proudly South African organization, Advocate Leslie Sadibe, said it was a sad day for the world, but they had to accept the will of the American voters.
For some of us who have long held the view that it is important to work towards a global harmonization and peace, it is really a major blow that a candidate such as Mr. Trump was elected. But we nonetheless respect of the will of the people.
Sadibe had expressed the hope that Donald Trump would live up to his speech after being elected, that he would promote the interests of all people, irrespective of their race, religion or nationality. The South African government has reacted cautiously to the election of Trump. President Jacob Zuma, in his message, congratulated Trump on his election and said he was prepared to work with the new U.S. leader. Zuma said South Africa and America enjoyed cordial relations and he would work with Trump to consolidate this relationship. Zuma said South Africa was committed to working with the United States to promote peace and development, not only in South Africa, but in Africa generally.
Subri Govender reporting. Now, Sela, what's trending on all the social media platforms that you've checked?
Well, Donald Trump is basically what's trending in U.S. elections. But what we've just heard, many leaders in the world have been congratulating Trump. And these days, of course, you do that on Twitter. So, for example, Tanzania's President John Magufuli tweeted, "Congratulations, President-elect Donald Trump and the people of America. Tanzanians and I assure you that continued friendship and cooperation." Okay. Ghana's president also tweeted his congratulations, and Uganda's president Yoweri Museveni tweeted, "I look forward to working with him like I've done with all his predecessors." And President Uhuru Kenyatta from Kenya also tweeted, "The ties that bind Kenya and the United States of America are close and strong, and they're based on the values that we hold dear, which is democracy, rule of law, and the equality of people." So overall.
And I understand the Bruninian president was among the first people to send a congratulatory tweet to Trump, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, he was. And I mean, overall, all of these tweets have been quite positive political tweets, you know, just as we mentioned before, quite cautious.
Yeah. What did he say, the Bruninian president?
The Burundian president said that Pierre Nkurunziza said, "Your victory is the victory of all American people." So he was very positively surprised.
But there are also a few less serious stories circulating on social media.
Yes, there are. I mean, for example, in Kenya, there's been a mock election which was held in Kogelo, which is the home area of President Obama's Kenyan family. And apparently there Hillary Clinton won.
Yeah, and of course, in case they... It was the same candidate. Definitely, they would spend the whole night, waiting to see whether their candidate wins. Anyway, we have to leave it at that. We shall be back. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, the girl who defied all odds to become a professional cyclist.
I started riding the bicycle at the age of 10. I fell in love with the bicycle at a very tender age. The bicycle makes me happy. I feel relieved riding the bicycle.
And we will see what climate experts in Marrakesh have to say about Donald Trump.
But first, let's go back to the US elections for a while. Markets around the world have fallen following Donald Trump's election as US president. The Johannesburg Stock Exchange banking index fell by nearly 3%, making the banking sector hardest hit by the shock of Trump's victory. Analysts in South Africa said Trump's presidency was likely to bring higher levels of uncertainty and inconsistency into African markets. Before we came on air, I spoke to DW's Edith Kimani in Nairobi, and I started by asking her how the markets in Kenya and the East African region reacted.
Well, surprisingly, the markets in Kenya have been relatively stable. Obviously, we're looking at what's happening globally. And as you rightly said, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange is not looking too good. What is most worrying to Kenya, however, is what's going to happen to the dollar. Already, we are seeing that people are dumping their stocks in the dollar and investing or buying different currencies. This could be bad for a country which operates in the dollar. So as Kenya and as East Africa and most sub-Saharan countries, actually, investor momentum could reduce because this is not a position that they'd like to be in at the moment with all the uncertainty. But it's not something that is predicted to continue for a while. It's hoped that within a few days, things will have settled down and so too will the markets.
Are Kenyans, entrepreneurs and the business community generally worried that exports to the United States might fall sharply, especially since Trump has vowed to promote American products first and cut down on imports entering the U.S.?
Absolutely. He has made it very, very clear that he is in favor of bilateral trade agreements and not multilateral ones. Now, this puts some agreements which are already operational at risk, one of the major ones being, of course, the African Growth and Opportunities Act, or AGOA. Now, through this act, of course, we know that African countries are able to export a significant amount of product, especially raw materials, into the United States. And previously, that number has not been similar to the number of imports that Africa is getting. Now, if this is altered, it could mean that African products become more expensive in the US, which is obviously not good for trade here. So it's one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of exporters are worried about with the news that Donald Trump is the president-elect.
Do you think Donald Trump will introduce economic partnerships with Africa, such as AGOA?
It's very difficult to tell because he has been very vague on his position in Africa, issuing simply a statement in early October, which was rather vague on the issue of trade. So it seems very unlikely that that's going to happen. Now, what a lot of people are worried about is that AGOA could not be in existence at all. He did say that he wants to review all the existing economic partnership agreements, and who knows, this could be one of the areas that Donald Trump decides to cut off completely.
Africa was disappointed by Obama. Is this affecting the way Africans view Trump as a potential partner?
There are people who think that President Obama, being himself African-American or of African descent, could not effectively deal with the continent so that he is not seen to be favoring it. I don't know how that true is as far as policy is concerned, but there's very little hope that Trump is going to do more. Then again, there are those who say that it was during Bush's administration, a Republican, that U.S. and Africa relationships increased, that there was a funding for the AIDS which was ravaging the continent at the time that there was AGOA, which was passed during his tenure. And so there are those who say that Trump could actually do a better job than Obama in as far as Africa relations are concerned.
DW's Edith Kimani in Nairobi.
On the spot.
Now, cycling in Sierra Leone is widely considered as a male sport, but one young lady has defied all odds to become a professional cyclist. Hannah Trawali is one of the few female cyclists in Sierra Leone. She is a member of the Sierra Leone National Cyclist Association. The 19-year-old has won several awards after competing with men. Despite the challenges like not owning a bike of her own, she is determined to one day represent Sierra Leone in international cycling. DW's Mtal Kamara in Freetown brings us her story.
A group of young men are cheering Hannah
at the National Stadium upon arrival, after she has just covered over 25 miles as part of her training exercises. Hala is a very popular face in Freetown. It is easy to spot her along the busy traffic of the city. Hala says her career in cycling started at a very early age.
I started riding the bicycle at the age of 10. I fell in love with the bicycle at a very tender age. The bicycle make me happy. I feel relieved riding the bicycle. I go with my bicycle everywhere, to the market, to the training, to my friend, to the hospital.
Born in Kamabai, northern Sierra Leone, Hannah is the second child of five children. Her father is a retired school teacher and her mother, a farmer. She dropped out of school after she became pregnant at the age of 15 years. She was sent to Freetown to stay with her auntie, a housewife. Auntie Juliana Dola could not afford to put Hannah in school, so she was asked to do petty trading to support her family. She says she finds it very difficult to do petty trading alongside her chosen career.
I'm going through so many of challenges. I don't have bicycle on my own, footwear, sport dress and elements.
Amos Dixon is Hannah's cyclist trainer. Dixon, who is also a member of the Sierra Leone Cyclist Association, an organization which seeks to promote cycling in the country, speaks highly of Hannah.
Hannah, she's a very good rider and she's committed to the sport. Despite the challenges, she tried to push the country flag high. Even the bicycle she is using is not her own, managing to push the country to a different height.
Cycling in Sierra Leone is widely considered a male sport. The number of female cyclists in the country are very few. Hannah says to be a female cyclist in Sierra Leone comes at a greater price.
I'm often insulted by motorbike riders, taxi drivers in the streets of Freetown. They say that I'm a woman, a bicycle not for women, that we go and find something to do. I am determined despite all the challenges. I am one day represent my country in the international stage.
Hannah is committed to her career. As part of her routine training, she rides the bicycle from Waterloo outside Freetown and goes back to warm up. She is scheduled to take part in another competition in November. Her auntie Juliana says if Hannah is given their support, she will go far.
Hannah Tayawali, she is very determined in her cyclist career. And indeed, she is so determined that any hour of the day, she's always with her bike. But unfortunately for her, she has no bike of her own. So I know if she has someone to support her by giving her the necessary necessities concerning the bike issue, this sport, I know Hannah will go above what she is now. So now I am appealing to any good organization or person that will be in the position to give her a helping hand. Kindly help her and see Anna go forward, not only for herself, but for this country, Sierra Leone, and for others too that will follow her example.
Mutala Kamala compiled that report from Freetown.
Living Planet Africa.
Next to Zimbabwe, where we hear of efforts to beat back food insecurity, agriculture scientists say they have developed new heat and drought-tolerant varieties of maize seeds. Scientists from the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center, CIMIT, in Zimbabwe, developed the seeds to combat drought-induced food insecurity that has affected millions in southern Africa. The new varieties could play a significant role in safeguarding food security in Zimbabwe and other parts of Africa. From Harare, Privilege Mushaniri reports.
Earlier this year, Zimbabwe declared a state of disaster after a quarter of the population of 15.6 million faced food shortages caused by El Nino-induced drought. According to the latest Zimbabwe Vulnerability Assessment Committee report, at least 4 million people will require food aid until the next harvest in April 2017. But scientists at CIMIT say the effects of the drought could have been mitigated had the heat and drought-tolerant maize varieties been on the commercial market. agriculture scientist at the CIMIT research station in Chiredzi, southeast of Zimbabwe, are busy working to produce heat-tolerant seeds. Senior maize breeder Cosmos Magoro Kosho says the seeds show potential for long-term food security and economic benefits.
I'll call them a game changer because what it means is farmers will be able to get some kind of food security if they adopt these varieties and they change from the current varieties, which are very, very bad under climate change conditions. Food security in Africa will be partly addressed because of through these varieties, because in Africa, maize is life.
Magoro Kosho adds that countries across Africa have shown interest in the new maize varieties CIMIT developed with funding from the U.S. Agency for International Development. Most countries in southern Africa depend on maize as a staple food and crop for economic self-sufficiency. But unfortunately, the crop is failing due to drought. The crop is highly sensitive to heat and extreme temperatures. And experts say development of drought-tolerant varieties is critical for the region feeling the impacts of climate change. Anna Brazia, a Zimbabwean climate change researcher, says the seed varieties show potential.
The fact that this particular variety has been developed so quickly is extremely inspiring. Climate change predictions have shown that the amount of land available for maize production is going to shrink very dramatically, very quickly in sub-Saharan Africa. And that's going to have a huge impact on food security and the economic viability of farming as a whole. So we really need to develop heat-tolerant varieties.
Brazia says the task now is to multiply the seeds and put them on the local market. But she fears farmers may at first prefer traditional varieties which they are used to.
There needs to be a lot of communication about the benefits and the merits of the seeds. Farmers are very conventional people, they're quite conservative, and it takes a long time to persuade them to do something new. There are lots of questions. Will the seeds be affordable to the farmers? These seeds are not open pollinated as far as I understand it, so that also puts the farmers in a position of having to buy the seeds every year, and that could impoverish them.
Privilege Mushanri filed that report from Harare.
And now, sticking with the environment, we shouldn't forget another big topic happening here on the African continent, which is the UN Climate Conference in Marrakesh. That's the COP22.
That's the conference which is meant to implement last year's Paris Agreement, isn't it?
Right, yes. And it's one person, Elena Pereira, tweeted, "How come nobody's talking about the fact that Donald Trump just became the world's most powerful climate change denier?" Mm-hmm. And another journalist, Graham Ridfin, tweeted that Trump's 100-day plan for energy basically was to cancel the climate change agreement, the Paris Climate Agreement from last year, and stop payments to the UN Global Warming Program.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And but another user, Robert Faulkner, who's an associate professor at LSE, said we don't have to be worried too much because it's a blow to the Paris Agreement, but not a fatal one.
So, I mean, we will see what happens on that. If you want to read more about Donald Trump's relation to climate change, head to dw.com/environment. So, Sela, what other things are being discussed on the US elections?
Well, I mean, one story that's being shared a lot is one of a bit of an African success story for the US elections. That's a very young Somali-American woman, Ilan Omar. She's 34, Muslim, and she's become the first Somali-American lawmaker in the US in Minneapolis, and she's been elected as one of the state representatives for her district.
Oh, wow. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, and she's the first woman with that background to be elected to that level. And, I mean, on Twitter, there are lots of pictures of her being shared from the election, which shows Somalis standing in line to vote for her yesterday.
Yeah, and I'm sure Somalis were very pleased about that.
They were, and today her supporters were hugging her and congratulating her, so that was a positive turn to that election.
Yeah, I mean, anything more? I see you had something from, you know, Nigeria, West Africans, about the election story.
Yes, I mean, Nigerians, they were very, you know, there was a story last week of Wole Soyinka, the Nobel Literature Prize laureate, who basically made a comment saying that he would give away his green card.
Anyway, I'm afraid, Sally, we have to leave that. And a quick reminder of our main story. Republican nominee Donald Trump has taken the White House, sending shockwaves around the globe. There we come, the end of the program. For more news, visit dw.com/Africa.
And go to our Facebook page, DW Africa. I'm Sela Neko.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. It's goodbye and take care.